you know, the Marriott, like, yeah, that's fine, bring your own food, bring your own drinks, but the conference center, absolutely not. They pitched a fit when I had a cooler that was just kind of in transit from my car to the room. I can't remember exactly what it was. But
she thought we were bringing it into the conference center. We were
providing food.
We were providing our own drinks, and so there was, to clarify that we weren't doing that.
So it's like I said, I mean, you know, there are some drawbacks in that respect, but it was nice not being just so crowded and, you know, feeling like we were tripping all over each other like we have in the past at University Inn. We had 23 students, so it was a larger group. We really need to, as we, Marilyn and I kind of talked about this, is I think we're going to plan for 4 breakout sessions, which require us to bring up 2 more full-time faculty members. It was just really unwieldy. What ended up happening is we had to start earlier every day. Normally we would start at 8 or so, but we had to bump it up and start every day at 7:30 so that we could have enough time for breakouts and all of that. And there's something about that, it was only 30 minutes, but it was just exhausting.
It required that we were there earlier.
Yeah.
And like I said, we were with students until 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So,
One thing in talking about the Riverwoods versus University Inn, we would not have fit with this group in the room at the University Inn.
Because there were so many?
We had more students this year than even last year. We were really packed at the University Inn.
Yeah.
We had, I think, 3 or 4 more students this year than we did last year. And so if we're going back to University Inn, there may be a need for us to cap the amount of students.
Oh, right. Yeah, thank you.
And that's not generally been something we really wanted to do. We want everybody who wants to be able to come to be able to come. But at the University Inn, we are limited in space. And so that would be something. So even though we're paying more at the Riverwoods, there are other benefits as well.
Plus, you know, they timely bill us, so we're able to take advantage of the of Tyson's grant funds, you know, so which will help with those costs. Another challenge we face at the University Inn is when we're up on the 5th floor, the university's boardroom is just right across the hall from us, and so sometimes if they're having a board meeting that week, we can't use it. You can't take anything other than water in there, which, you know, is a really is not an inconvenience. It's more if at the last minute they want to use the boardroom, but it is, we can fit more people at the University in Riverwoods.
And the cafeteria, but where they serve their food, you know, the breakfast, it's right downhill. So you folks that have been to Basic, you've been to the University Inn. You know, you're right in that hallway. The boardroom is across the way. We're restricted or limited in what we can do there. You get the traffic from other guests that are staying in the hotel, so you get that traffic, and they'll come and, you know, it's not a big deal, but they'll come and they think that the Continental breakfast is our breakfast or our food along the way. The Riverwoods, you know, you're separate. And as far as what we do in Basic, the different activities, we were free to do those without any limitations. We had a lot of wall space to put up all of the posters. This year we did, Bob had an idea of bringing Lego toys and pipe cleaners. And that really yielded to people that are kind of fidgety and you're anxious while you're sitting there. This one student made like a little courtroom. He had the judge and I mean it was just the different things that we did. We have plenty of room to accommodate different types of learning experiences for the students. And at the University Inn, you're crowded. You're just elbow to elbow. And it's, you're up on campus, yes, but when you're in that room for 8 hours all day long, it wears on you.
So I guess really what we're saying is we're planning to go back to the Riverwoods next year, depending upon the contract we can get, and maybe University Inn is now panicked and they'll come back and offer us some screaming deal. But like Tyson said, we don't want to cap it. You know, there's just some other concerns that make it a nicer fit at the Riverwoods.
Has it been trending the last couple of years, or is it just?
No, it's been.
Yeah, the last couple of years. It's been 20 plus. So when you get 2023, there were a couple of years ago, we had 30, and that was at the university, and that was just almost unworkable. But 23 is a full, and that left our breakouts or our workshops, 8 students per faculty team. And ideally, we really should have 5 or 6 at the most. So,
4 or 5 preferably.
Yeah. 5 preferably, yeah.
I mean, you're right, Robert, because if we were to see our numbers go down, then yeah, it would probably make some, we could go back to the university and accommodate the numbers.
But every year we don't know.
You never know.
No, I know, exactly, exactly.
You never know what your registration is going to be year to year.
And I say this tongue-in-cheek, poking some fun at Will in their offices, we just need to keep track of how many people Salt Lake is hiring, because the last 2 years, Salt Lake City has been at least half of our students.
Yeah, we had 12.
Next year's going to be a big year for you.
Right. No. Yeah.
Next year's going to be a big year for us for a long
time. You can forecast that now, Mel?
I can tell you right now.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're looking at is going back to the Riverwoods. Again, with the billing, we've got Tyson's grant that helped us.
We can cut some costs. We've seen from this year where we can cut the cost and bring it down a little bit, but it's not going to be down as low as the university. And that's, I guess that's what we're saying.
Well, what I was going to say with that, I mean, if they're not billing you in time to use his grant, then it is really that much cheaper.
I walked out with the bill. When I left, I walked out with the invoice.
Yeah. And the problem with my grant is I'm on the federal fiscal year, so my grant ends the end of September. All expenses have to be turned in by, I think it's November, like 8th or something.
Yeah.
Anything that's not, it has to be purchased, obviously, before September 30th, which it was. But if it's not turned in by November 8th, they won't pay it. And we didn't get the invoice until like December or something.
So, I mean, that was a frustrating thing with the university, and as Marilyn kept saying, to get grant money, we've got to get this bill, and it was just crickets. So
there's nothing to do across that date.
Yeah. So that was basic, but like I said, it was great. It was just a really, really good course. Good feedback. Anyway, we'll take that to the training committee. Fall obviously is this weekend. We're excited about good presenters. Training committee, we're meeting next month. So if you have ideas that you would like in terms of presentation topics, get them to any of us, to Steve as the chair of the training committee. So we're open and like to have that feedback.
This is our core function. So you look at the past conferences, if there have been problems or again topics that need to be addressed or an area of focus that you want us to be mindful of, then yeah, give us that information, because that retreat that we do, that's pretty intense.
It is. Yeah, we have a good time, but after, I mean, we work hard.
Let's look at, if you can, we're having the mental health issues with the evaluators not coming, ignoring judges' orders. They frankly don't care if they're supposed to come without a certain time, so we need some training on how to handle that.
Well, plus with the change, I don't know how jurisdictions do competency requests on their, out of their justice court to the district court, but we have quite a few of those that we deal with in that change in the statute where it says the judge can just dismiss the case and they have to be released after 60 days.
Yeah.
So on a lot of cases, it's not that big a deal, but on a lot of cases it is. They're victim cases a lot of times. So.
They have that on civil counsel, that conference right now. They're doing a section on
it. It's just unreal. We had a judge order them. This guy's got to go to your hospital, and they just ignored it. So San Juan charged the department with contempt, so it's just a mess.
Wow.
So I don't know. And then they said we received it, we'll get down there when we can, when there's a certain amount of time they're supposed to come and meet the person. We have a guy that wants to meet people, and we don't know what to do. So
sure.
That might be a good topic. If it's in civil, that's good too. Mm-hmm.
No, that's good. So thank you.
I thought in the small counties, y'all just got along.
Oh. No, we get dumped on, okay?
We have the guy that carried his mom in the coal cellar. Yeah. That's my count.
Yeah, we get people from here who decide they don't want to take care of their kids anymore.
Yeah.
They're adult kids. And they go
south.
Dump them in a trailer out in the middle of nowhere.
Go south.
Okay.
The Sentencing Commission just voted to impose the first set of probation guidelines.
They do it.
And so prosecutors might benefit.
I got a whole Cedars full of them.
We had the naked kidnapper, the 60-year-old with the naked 12-year-old boy. So that's what's going on in my county. So we've got to have some help.
Wow. All right. So that was for... Do you have any more training stuff we want to talk about?
I don't know if you heard what Will was saying.
The Sentencing Commission yesterday voted to implement probation length guidelines, and this is the first time they'll be implemented, so it might be a training room for learning for prosecutors.
I'm guessing that they're shortened.
They're not liking the 60-month probations that I'm seeing coming out of Salt Lake now.
They're not.
I've seen several of those lately.
Restart.
Well, it's a way to work around the ECC.
I know. I love it.
There will be other ways to work around the new ones, but there are new guidelines that start January 1. So it might be a training.
We get some training on how to work around the
guidelines. How to work with the guidelines.
Sounds like Will will be a great presenter.
How to work within the rules.
That's right.
Yeah. Presentation after the presentation.
Let's see. Okay, OMPA is November. We're finalizing it. I mean, the agenda's there. We're just finalizing the details. Your all-county executive seminar. It's the same basically every year. I mean, in terms of dates. So.
I might be this year.
Geez, who's the UCDA chair this year?
Chris
already. Yeah. My guess is that Chris would really appreciate any input that you county folks have in terms of what you would like on the agenda. I was going to ask Scott, because he was at last year, you know, and was, I think, clamoring for topics. Maybe clamoring is not the right word, but, you know, searching for topics that you guys want to have on your agenda. So if you'll keep that in mind, funnel those ideas. Again, you can send them to us, and we'll pass them on to Chris. But he would appreciate some topics there. New county attorney training. It's 4 years again. 4 years has come around. We have scheduled it for January 16th through the 18th. We're going to do it at the AG's office or the College Drive office there in Murray. It's easy to get off the freeway. It's a convenient location for us. Now, this is who I knew either was new or would be replaced, but Jan just told me this morning that he's in a contested race. So look at this list and tell me if I need to be tracking anybody else. We've got Jeremy Humes is replacing Gene Strait in Carbon County. Chad Dotson, I believe, is running unopposed in Iron County. So he's basically David Levitt, I think, is running unopposed.
No, he's not. The Libertarian, what's his name?
Oh,
Andy McCullough.
Oh, okay, David's running unopposed.
It's Utah County.
No. We live in Utah County. I will go to the ends of hell to make sure that
I'll tell you,
Andy McCullough.
Andy will receive more votes than any Democrat would receive.
He would.
But he's still not going to win.
All right, Margaret Olson. Does anybody know if Margaret's running? I don't think she's running opposed.
She's unopposed.
She's unopposed, that's what I thought. Ryan, unopposed.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben Willoughby, unopposed, I think, down in Rich.
Yeah.
Kevin Daniels, I think he's unopposed in St. Pete. Greg, is Greg running unopposed up in Uinta? Or?
I think he's unopposed.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. Now, Grand County. Andy is not running again, so it's between Christina Sloan and Stephen Stocks. I've never heard of either of those. Maybe, yeah. Christina, Southern County.
Christina's the Democrat running. No, they run.
Is it nonpartisan?
Nonpartisan.
Yeah. Is it?
Okay. Morgan and Graham are the two. At least for one more year. We're having to change our phone number.
She won the primary.
Okay. Salt Lake County, of course, is we know that that's contested. Morgan, You're not gonna leave us, are you?
I think I should be. The guy running against me has been an attorney for 1 year and 3 months.
Oh.
But it'll still have you a tight race because I'm not that great either, so we should be good.
Well, see, I actually had the opportunity to prosecute everybody in your county.
It's tough.
I think I can get one more vote, so I'm not overconfident, but I think I'm great.
And Scott, at one time, no, you had a challenge. You had to do a primary, right?
I did.
But are you running unopposed now?
Sort of. I think someone's mounted a write-in campaign.
So. Oh, okay. So really, what we're looking at is 9 county attorneys attending and possibly 10, depending upon what happens in Salt Lake. So I think this is going to be one of our largest groups.
Bob
Emery
has
a conflict
race.
Oh, okay.
Mike Wells. County, okay. New County Attorney Seminar in January.
Wells running against him.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know that.
Oh. So even if you're not a brand new attorney, it would still be nice
it's
to
invaluable.
Come
it's,
for the brand new attorneys.
Yeah, it's invaluable.
I mean, that would be valuable for them.
Right. Oh, and I've only done it once. We did it right after I started. But we do, looking back at the agenda, I mean, we rely heavily on you guys to come in and, dare I say, panel?
it's kind of a mentoring.
It is.
You know, mentor the brand new ones.
Yeah, so if you'll just block those dates out or pencil them out right now on your calendars, just to be available for that. We'll follow a similar format. We'll take this to the training committee and get some input from them. But I was just looking at the agenda last week. You know, we rely, bring in the AG's office, we bring in the civil folks, as you all know, you've all been through it, so.
Do you have UPC and SWAT meetings scheduled around the same time?
No.
That would be helpful.
No. I take that back. Yes. UPC and SWAT is January 16th in the morning. Thank you for asking that, because it's actually, yeah.
So
we'll start at like 1 o'clock on the 16th. So, yeah, thank you. For Rob, for reminding me that.
So it's free, and you also get CLE. So if you're hurting for CLE or want to get ahead of it,
I don't sell it on black market. Okay, we talked a little bit about the DV101 boot camp. We're taking that one back to the Riverwoods again for the reasons that we talked about
Wednesday.
And so there's that. So any questions on upcoming conferences? Yeah, so I meant to get with Steve
so you could
use a training chair, but ran out of time. Okay.
Be to the UPA report. Mm-hmm.
We had 2 openings. We did fill our city with Michelle Williams from Layton. We're super excited to have her. We do have 1 county opening still, so please encourage people to apply. We had great feedback from our conference. We had a photo booth, which people loved. Seven
when you
people.
Say photo booth, explain that.
So we had just a portion of the area right before you go into the conference area that people could sit and take pictures.
We had beads and hats and all kinds of funny things.
Yeah, and people, it was fun. Just kind of lighten the mood and get people more involved, and so it was fun. Fun pictures. We had 7 people take the Coupa test, 3 passed, and then we did receive the go-ahead to do a Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
So we're excited to do that. And do you have anything else to add?
The photo booth. We did that because the conference was really kind of heavy, a lot of heavy material, and that seemed to lighten the mood. And again, it helped with networking and things like that. So, yeah.
Marilyn asked if you guys would want photo booths at our conferences, and I jumped and said no, but I said, well, I'll let Marilyn ask you guys.
Just depends on the conference. But
My wife might drag me.
Don't you want to hold up the fake mustache?
We have those.
I know. My girl sent me photos. I'm like, they're at a conference.
We'll frame one of these times and just see who shows up.
So seeing ballroom dancing, probably not.
We've got some, what's the hats, the
Fedoras.
Fedoras. Yeah. We've got a few of those, a couple of those. So.
Peas.
Yeah.
I think your complexion with the pink feather boa would be perfect.
And you're doing the Koopa test again this fall, correct?
Get a gun, a drawer, or a gun.
At our next GPA, so June.
I do that.
Cool. So well, Michelle called about, she wants...
We've got two in our office and studying.
Right, she's ready to take the test, and we're making arrangements to have her be able to take it.
Yes.
So,
that's how I got that.
There's two of them. And since you're here, I'm wondering if they could maybe drive to, say, Weber County.
That's a trophy, dude.
Yeah.
Or we could come to you, whichever. Anyway,
drive to Weber and then to Davis. Get your
We don't have anyone at Davis.
Oh, anymore. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. We can send to Weber County.
That's who we need to replace is Davis County.
Okay.
Now, if you do get DWR to bring some of their trophy racks in, trophy mounts
there you
in.
Go.
You will get lots of selfies.
Oh, okay. That's true. That's true.
There's some ideas right there.
Some of this poaching.
I know. I had a guy come to you at Walmart and say, I heard you get my rack
budget,
on your wall.
Budget for UPAA, final numbers are in, and we did come in under budget by $77.
$77. Under is under.
It's under. It's under. We had a lot of out-of-state people and had some honorary, and so I, we did have we were able to get a discount, which really helped from the hotel. we had some challenges at the conference of the help, the catering help. Didn't seem to want to
Do their job.
And so they gave us a discount. They gave us some credit for that. It was fun.
Where were the out-of-state from?
Arizona. And, yeah, Arizona. And then we had one that had an honorarium. It was a very good conference. I think we reported on that last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a really good conference. And the board is happy to help out with the DV-101. There'll be some overlap there, so there won't be any extra mileage of bringing the board in. It'll just be organic. We'll already be there. So on the Wednesday or Thursday that there's an overlap, we've got 8-9 board members, so we'll be covered as far as any kind of help, and I would really appreciate that. So.
Okay, thanks for your work. Tyus, what's going on with you?
Just getting ready to wrap up my federal fiscal year. You'll see I have a detailed report of everything I've done this quarter. I didn't include anything for September. And I apologize about that, but I turned in the report the first week of September, so I didn't have anything to report at that point. And so anybody at the end of the month, if you want that, contact me. I'm happy to share it with you. But you'll see this has been a very successful year. For me, I'll be up over 1,700 people trained this year, which, if I understand correctly, looking back, that'll be the highest number of people the TSRP has ever trained in Utah in a year. So I'm happy about that. Was selected to be on a national committee for the Lifesavers Conference. Every year they do an annual Lifesavers Conference, brings in a couple thousand people, traffic safety people, where I'm helping to pick presenters and things for that now for one of the tracks. So getting my name out there, getting more familiar with people has been good. Marilyn and I got to do a fun tour in July.
Mm-hmm.
She came and joined the other TSRPs. We went and toured a legal, I use air quotes because it's not legal, but legal marijuana grow operation in Spokane. And this was an operation.
Spokane, did you say?
Yeah.
Spokane.
This operation was focused entirely on extracting the oils for dabs and shatters and waxes and the recreational market. They weren't even pretending that they were doing it for anything else. And it was just fascinating. It was really cool to go around. We got lots of pictures and things. And so... that was pretty interesting, especially with some of the things we have on the horizon here in Utah now. So, one thing I will say is the trainings I've been doing, they've been very well received and very effective, but now most people are seeing them. And so if you're seeing things in your areas in the DUI world that are of concern to you, call me and let me know. And I can put together a specific training to come to your agencies and do. I'm happy to do that. And then I end up expanding that, usually just giving it to everybody. Because if you're seeing it in your area, other people are probably seeing it in theirs too. So please feel free, if you're seeing issues, you're having problems, if any of your officers are struggling with these things, your departments are struggling with DUIs, let me know. I'm happy to come out and do training for you and do those things. I don't have my own boots on the ground anymore, though, so I'm not seeing cases coming across my desk anymore. I'm not seeing those things, so I need others to be my eyes and ears, essentially, out there around the state. And again, happy to come and do anything you need. So just reach out to me, let me know, we'll put something together, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, you'll be getting this from us. I don't know if anybody else has done this, but Randy Richards has his own expert that evaluated the blood draw from the state lab, and his expert said that the technician deliberately falsified the reports on some of those. And so we've got an interesting battle coming up.
Wow.
Anyway, so we'll get you in the loop.
How did he make that determination?
I started to read it, but then I remembered I flunked chem, so I didn't.
So one thing, actually, just last week I was able to present at the Justice Court Judge Conference up at the Zermatt. As part of that, they couldn't just bring me in. They had to bring a defense attorney in to be a part of it as well. And
some of you know.
Was presenting with Lindsay Jarvis.
Did she show up?
She did. It was nice. And it was fine. It went well. But she did make some claims that, you know, we're sending out our blood to other labs, and almost every single time they're getting different results. And honestly, I've never had a case in my entire career, neither have I had a prosecutor contact me since I've been in this job, where they've said, blood got tested and it came back different. I've never heard of a single case like that. And so I don't know how accurate her statement was, but they are at least starting to try and attack our state lab a little bit. So maybe that is something
I'm... His expert is someone who graduated from law school. I can't remember how long ago. But anyway, we'll get that information to you.
So. There's a new curriculum, just so you're aware, and maybe you guys can give me guidance on this, on if you think it's beneficial for Utah. There's a new curriculum that's been developed by the National Traffic Safety Institute, TSI, I think it's Traffic Safety Institute, and it's for prosecutors and toxicologists, and it's kind of like a co-training on bringing prosecutors and toxicologists into the same room and working well together, how you communicate, prepare cases together. There is one in Colorado, the first one that I'm aware of that they're rolling out is in Colorado in December, and I'm trying to get Max Lawson, our director of the state lab here, to go with me. And we'll go with the attendees at that conference and then maybe plan, and just how it goes, bringing that training to Utah. And Matt and I can put that on here in Utah. But my grant should be able to fund both of us to go out there and do that with a minor grant change, which isn't a big deal that I could do. But so opportunities maybe to work closer with the Tox Lab. And,
is that an effort to get them to testify to more than what's written on the piece of paper that they sent? Because right now,
potentially,
they say, we're not going to testify, especially me. They're like, can't I do this over a monitor? I'm only going to testify what's on the piece of paper. I mean, is that the idea?
I don't know. We'll see.
And are they even willing to do that?
Well, my guess is they're probably not going to get into the weeds a lot on drug impairment and things like that. But that's a policy, I think, in our own state lab. They want to really narrow what their witnesses for. They don't want to become expert witnesses in every drug DUI case across the state.
Well, it's just their limitation on their personnel. They just don't have.
In our Tox Lab, I will say, I'll go to bat for these guys all the time. They do a fantastic job. And you may get frustrated because it takes 30 days to get a Tox result back. You can go back East Tennessee. It's like 8-9 months, best case scenario, to get Tox results back from their lab and DUI cases. So we have a pretty good.
I think there could be some improvement, though, on interacting between the, at least us in a rural county, and
yeah,
the Tox Lab, rather than just showing up to court
yeah,
5 minutes before they go on to stand, which could help, which probably an error on our side. I'm not trying to hard.
Yeah.
I guess it could be more branding from there.
Thank you. Great, thank you.
Glad you're going.
See our ladies here.
So Marlise is a poet. Let me just give you a quick synopsis of what she's doing at POSE this week. I mean, you've got her numbers in the report. Is